The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, greetings once again. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for another Netcast. We've been delayed just a bit because, to be honest, I did an entire Netcast, and our camera messed up, and we had a mess there. And I'm having to do this particular program over again. But you know what? Praise the Lord. I just believe it's going to be just as good as the one you missed that never got to air. Praise the Lord. You know, things like that can happen. And when they do, you don't let them get you down. You fix the problem, you move on. And we have fixed the problem by acquiring a new camera that I have here that I'm using right now that will work for what we needed to do. And I tell you, I am excited about it. It's very high quality. Has all kinds of neat features, including the ability to remotely control it, which I really appreciate, particularly when doing this program, because this particular program is about 30 minutes long. It's 29 minutes long. Of course, the audio from this program airs on WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio, Sunday mornings at 9:30, right after Brother Copeland's program, which comes on at 9 o'clock. So it has to be a certain length, and so that's why we have to hit this length every single time as best we can, praise the Lord. So we want to encourage you to go to Word of Faith Radio. Of course, we always do. Great things are happening there. Starting, as a matter of fact, this week as I record this coming Monday, Dr. Douglas Wingate from Life Christian University will be starting on Word of Faith Radio. Now, he's not going to just have a Monday through Friday program. He's going to have a Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday. In other words, every day of the week, he's going to be on teaching the Word of God. And I talked to Dr. Wingate, and he's excited about coming on WFR. And he's doing these programs especially for WFR. So you need to tune in and support his program, because I tell you, he's got some good things to share from the Word of God. Amen. Alrighty. Also, of course, speakfaith.tv, still going strong. Rick Renner's program is now on every day, and I mean every day of the week, 365 days a year. He's got his program, Refuel with Rick, and it's a new program every day, so you need to tune into that as well. That's an excellent, it's a little 5-minute program. Doesn't take long to listen to, but he's got nuggets from the Greek that are really exciting to hear. So tune into that as well on speakfaith.tv. If you don't have a Roku device, you can go to our website, speakfaith.tv, which I have up here on the screen. And there's a, up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link, a banner that you can click that'll take you right to the Roku site where you can purchase a Roku device. And then, of course, speakfaith.tv, once you have a Roku device, is completely free. So you can enjoy hearing the uncompromising Word of God through the audio and video of speakfaith.tv. So great stuff, praise the Lord. Well, we left off last time, including the one that you missed because it never aired. So we're backing up to this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 is where we left off. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will show unto you a more excellent way. Now, what you have to understand about this Corinthian church is Paul was writing this letter basically as a corrective letter. In other words, the Corinthian church were enthusiastic about spiritual gifts. They were excited about operating in the supernatural. And he didn't dissuade them from that part of it. He dissuaded them from misusing the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we talked about the 9 simple gifts of the Spirit that are listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've already gone over that, and I encourage you to go back and listen to past programs if you missed any of that information. But what we're talking about now is how to properly operate these gifts of the Spirit in the local church. That's specifically what he's talking about. It will help you to understand these passages if you understand that that is specifically what he's talking about. The operation of spiritual gifts in the local church assembly. We'll find out that more as we get into chapter 14. It's very instructive what he says there in chapter 14. But let's look, beginning here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will show unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way of what? Of desiring spiritual gifts, of operating in spiritual gifts. In other words, where the balance is in this operation of the supernatural, of the spiritual gifts in the church. So let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity. Now this word charity is agape in the Greek. It is divine love. Okay, divine love. So I'm going to read it that way because that's literally what the Greek word here is. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not divine love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just making noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not divine love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not divine love, it profiteth me nothing. Divine love suffers long and is kind. Divine love envies not. Divine love vaunts not itself. In other words, it's not puffed up. It's not caught up with its own way and itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but divine love rejoices in the truth. Divine love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Divine love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, now that's a gift of the Spirit, right? They shall fail. In other words, there shall be a point that prophecy shall cease. They'll stop their operation. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. There will come a point at some point when tongues will cease. Now we're going to find out what that point is. There are a lot of people who have been misinformed and they had poor instruction, and they have been told that tongues have already been done away with. We're going to cover that here in just a minute, so you hang in there for that. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So one at some point, the supernatural gift of the word of knowledge will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but he's about to tell you at which point these spiritual gifts, the nine simple gifts of the Spirit, will completely go away. Are you ready? Pay attention, because this is important. We know in part, we prophesy in part, verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then, at that point, when the perfect is come, that which is in part, remember he said all these other things, these spiritual gifts, were in part. So all of these things shall be done away. Now the question becomes, this is the all-important question, what is the perfect? That's the key to the whole thing right there. Okay? Now, I know a lot of people, as a matter of fact, I grew up Southern Baptist, okay? And I went, as I've told you before, I've given you my testimony of how I went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting on November the 10th, 1973. I heard George Otis speak. He taught on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. He asked anyone if they wanted to receive that experience. I lifted my hands, prayed the prayer, and was zapped from the head, top of my head to the soles of my feet, and was baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. Then I went home to my Baptist church, and they started giving me pamphlets and booklets and tracts and books and everything you can imagine, telling me tongues was of the devil. And their primary thing that they said was, the perfect has already come, and all of that's been, you know, done away with. And so anything that you're doing today, that's of the devil. That's not of God. Well, I thought, well, what is this perfect that's to come? And they said, it's the Bible. Now, that's what they taught. That was their doctrine. That was their position. And so I was shaken by that. I thought, oh my, the Bible is the perfect. Now, the question is it the perfect he's talking about here? I will say, now listen closely. Listen closely. The Bible is the indisputable, incorruptible, perfect word of Almighty God. You know that I believe that. Amen? I've told you many, many, many times. The Bible is perfect. It is inerrant. That's a theological word meaning it has no errors in it. And you know, I've told you many times, people have said, oh, it's full of errors. There's all kinds of places where the Bible contradicts itself. And I've told you many times, find me one place where that is not explained directly by Scripture itself. And I have never had anyone successfully show me one thing that the Bible has ever contradicted itself in. It is completely consistent. It is completely accurate in every way. It is perfect. Okay? So I do not agree. I do not disagree. Say this correctly. I do not disagree that the Bible is perfect. It is indeed perfect. Okay? I want to be as clear as I can. The Bible is indeed perfect. Now the question becomes, is it the perfect he's talking about here? That's the crucial thing. So you know, there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about that are perfect. God the Father is perfect. The Holy Ghost is perfect. Jesus himself is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of perfects that the Bible talks about. We need to know what perfect he's talking about here. Now, a lot of people might say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you can't know. It's totally up to interpretation because the Bible doesn't specifically say what this perfect is. Yes, it does. You say, really? You'll have to show me that out of Scripture. Well, let me do you even better than that. All right? Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. Did he not? Amen. Paul was the writer, correct? Okay. Now, Paul himself, in the same letter where he wrote, when that which is perfect is come, said what the perfect was. Now, I know some of you just hanging on the edge of your seat. What in the world are you talking about, Dr. Bill? It doesn't say what the perfect is. That's why there's been such a controversy. The Bible does say specifically, go back to same book of 1 Corinthians, same writer of the book, Paul, to the first chapter. All right? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, did Paul write this? Paul says he wrote it, didn't he? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So who's he writing this to? He's writing it to the church which is at Corinth. So this is written to that church, all right? To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance. Now this word utterance is literally the word that is translated speaking in tongues. Remember, he's writing this to the Corinthian church to tell them about how the operation of spiritual gifts. That's one of his key things about this letter, is how to operate in spiritual gifts. This church in Corinth was indeed speaking in tongues more in a public service than they should, in an incorrect fashion. That was one of the key things on his mind as he's writing this letter. So he says, I'm thankful that you come behind that you are in everything enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now listen closely to this next verse. Verse 7, chapter 1. So that you come behind in no gift. This word gift is the same word used for spiritual gifts. So that you come behind in no spiritual gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, stop and think about that. I am thankful that you come behind in no gift, waiting until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. All right. Who's the perfect? Jesus Christ is the perfect he's talking about. Now you say, well, Dr. Bill, that still doesn't prove it. Hold on. I'm not through. Hang in there. The perfect here is coming when that which is perfect has come. And you shall come behind in no spiritual gift, waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect that is coming. But now let me ask you this. We're about to read a scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says, then when the perfect is come, we shall see face to face. Now, can you see a face on your Bible? I was preaching one time and I was talking about this and I was teaching on this. I held up my Bible and I held it up to my face and I said, does this Bible have a face? Can I look it in the face? Well, no. The Bible, the written word of God, does not have a face. But you know who does have a face? Do you know who is called the Word made flesh that dwelt among us? Jesus. And Jesus has a face. And when he comes back, we'll see him. Now let's read this in 1 Corinthians 13 and see if it doesn't make perfect sense. Remember, you will come behind in no spiritual gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we read in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 there. So let's look here. For we know in part, verse 9, we prophesy in part, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, the spiritual gift, shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when the perfect is come, then we'll see face to face. That's Jesus. We'll see his face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as I am known? Does Jesus know us now? Yes. Do we fully know him like we will when he returns? Now? No. But when he returns, we will know him even as he knows us. Oh, brethren, do you see this? You see how clear it is? There now abideth faith, hope, love, divine love, these three, but the greatest of these is divine love. Love is the way to find and operate in the spiritual gifts correctly. But here's what I want you to see out of this. More than anything else in this particular teaching today on the program, and that is the perfect that will come is the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual gifts are given until he comes. Now let me ask you this. Doesn't that make perfect sense? Because when Jesus comes in the second coming, and we're caught up with him in the air, in the rapture of the church, why would we need tongues and interpretation? Why would we need prophecy? Why would we need word of wisdom, word of knowledge, working of miracles, gifts of healings? Why would we need that kind of supernatural operation? We would be in our supernatural bodies, because we will have been caught up with him in the air, will have eternal bodies. In other words, you remember when Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he was able to walk through a wall? We'll have that kind of body. We'll know even as we are known. So we'll have supernatural knowledge and understanding far beyond what we have now. So we won't need the spiritual gifts to be in part, to tide us over, so to speak, until we have full knowledge at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that just make perfect sense? Can't you see why all of the poor teaching we've had in the past about, well, the Bible's the perfect and the perfect is come and all this has been done away? Well, if that's the case, then we should know even as we are known now. If that's the case, we should have all knowledge now. If that's the case, we shouldn't need any of the spiritual gifts now, but we do. We need healing today. We need miracles today. We need word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. We need all the spiritual gifts today because Jesus hasn't come back the second time yet. His second coming has not yet occurred. We're still in the dispensation of grace. We're still in this time that we need the nine simple gifts of the Spirit in operation, including tongues and interpretation. All right? You've got to see that. If you see this, if you understand this, no one will be able to dissuade you any longer from the proper operation of spiritual gifts and the proper operation of praying in the Holy Ghost when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and thereafter. Amen? Some of you are excited. I can tell some of you are getting it. You know what I'm saying? You're excited about this because you're hearing the truth of the Word of God laid out line upon line, precept upon precept, and that's exactly what I wanted to be able to do. And I believe we got it across even better this time than the time you couldn't see because the camera messed up, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. Amen? All righty. Well, I want to share a couple of things with you. We're going to pick up. I'd love to go directly into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but if I get into it now, we'll completely run out of time. So I won't try to do that. Rather, let me tell you about a couple of things. As I said, we had to purchase this new camera, which is an awesome camera. We were able to get it out of regular ministry funds that we have from people that have contributed prior to our effort, our project that I've talked about to get the other television equipment. And so I'll tell you the truth. I'm always completely honest with you in every way here. Tell you the truth, we have not received any contributions toward that. Now, I'm not fussing about it. I'm not upset about it. I just believe I'm going to pray and find out exactly what the Lord wants us to do about that particular thing. But I am so thankful and so excited. excuse me. Get a little water. Your throat gets a little dry when you teach as long as I have been under these TV lights. But at any rate, the camera that we got is a tremendous blessing. It is high quality, as you can tell, extremely high quality. Has all kinds of exciting features that are perfect for us here in our studio to do this program. And so I'm excited about that. We're always working to improve the quality of our programming, improve the quality of our technical capabilities here, because as Brother Kenneth Copeland said many years ago, excellence of ministry. That's one area that I really want us to excel in, is in excellence of ministry. And so praise the Lord for that. So the project that we have had to acquire the other television equipment, as I said, no contributions have come in, so I'm gonna put that on the shelf. Okay? We're just gonna stop with that right now. I'm gonna pray and find out exactly what the Lord has for us. You know what? I always know it's better than anything we can ask or even think. Amen? So I'm not concerned about that at all. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. So praise God for that. I wanted to share that with you to give you a report and let you know where we're at on this project. We're kind of put it on the shelf. Now, if somebody sends us $7,500 and says, I really believe you need to buy that equipment, that's fine. We'll do that. But for right now, we'll just table it and we'll just believe that what he has provided for us is exactly what we need at this point in time. And I just go with the Holy Ghost, you know, just go with the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'd love for you to write me here. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries. That's Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. Okay? You can write us there at our physical, you know, regular mail address and ask questions, make comments, whatever. Tell us how this program is ministering to you. That would be a big blessing. Also, you can write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wofm.org. And speaking of wofm.org, I'd love for you to go to our website, which is www.wofm.org. Go to our website. Check out all the videos we have there, the teaching. Our radio program, I'm telling you, our Word of Faith broadcast radio program is exploding in growth and reaching so many people. I am thrilled at the number of people that are listening. You watch this program, but you listen to the Word of Faith broadcast, listening to the program, not only on Word of Faith Radio, but through the internet, through iTunes, through all the outlets that we have, Word of Faith Radio, the broadcast on, or Word of Faith broadcast on. We had, I think it's like 20,000 people listen just last month to the Word of Faith broadcast. That's exciting. And we're teaching on some really important things right there on the Word of Faith broadcast right now. So, you know, that's good stuff as well. All the many outlets of ministry that we have, we're just so excited about. Join us again next time. Remember until then to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.